mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his most Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, when I was a student many years ago, facing the inevitable test, I liked true-false questions the best. Multiple choice questions were also good, but then you had to choose between four possible answers. So you only had a 25% chance of being correct. With true-false questions, though, the odds were 50-50. So you had a better chance of being right. But even true-false questions could be tricky. Sometimes the teacher would slip in a word that would change the statement completely. Words like always, never, or seldom. You couldn't know if something was really true before examining it very, very carefully. True or false? That's the question running through today's gospel reading, starting with the very first verse. Beware of false prophets, Jesus warns. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. In the scripture, a prophet is someone who claims to speak for God, relaying a message from the Almighty to the people. Sometimes they spoke of the future, but more commonly they addressed current events, usually to correct a nation that had gone astray from its covenant relationship with God. In the Old Testament, prophets often served in an advisory capacity to the king. But the guidance most of these court prophets gave was not from God. Rather, they told the monarch exactly what he wanted to hear. In a way, that's understandable because giving the king contrary advice was not conducive for long-term employment. But it also made them false prophets. Many men and women today bear the title of prophet, or something similar. They claim to be in a position of authority and to speak on behalf of God. But all too many of these self-proclaimed prophets are simply taking advantage of people for their own gain. These are false prophets, and Jesus' warning in this passage is just as applicable to them. The deceit bringers come not looking like the devils they are, but like innocent sheep. Behind their facade, however, they are ravenous wolves. So Jesus says, watch out for the false ones. For teachers and preachers and church workers who can say the right things and can even quote scripture, but are actually out to destroy the faithful. To fill their insatiable desires, some purposely disguise themselves as they prey on the weak and the vulnerable, abusing their victims financially, emotionally, and yes, sometimes physically. Sadly, the church is no more immune to predators than the secular world. But there are others who claim to speak for God who are perfectly sincere in what they preach and teach, who believe they're truly serving the Lord Jesus. But while their words satisfy the itching ears of their listeners, telling them what they want to hear, they are far from the word of God. These false prophets may not even know that they're leading people astray. But as Jesus declares in the last verses of today's gospel reading, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, in your name did we not prophesy? And in your name did we not cast out demons? And in your name did we not perform many miracles? And then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well-intentioned or not, wolves camouflaged as sheep are everywhere. So it's important for us to discern what's being taught and practiced. As the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So, how do we recognize a false prophet if he looks and sounds so much like a true prophet? What are we supposed to look for? By their fruits you will know them, Jesus says. In Palestine, some buckthorn bushes produce blackberries that look like grapes from a distance. And certain thistles have flowers that appear to be figs. However, a close inspection of both these fruits reveals them for what they really are. Things unfit for consumption. Likewise, we must examine the fruits of those who claim to speak for God, to determine the source from which they come. We examine their teaching in the light of the Holy Spirit's inspired scriptures, to discern if it either agrees or disagrees with what we know to be true from God's word. And since we hold that the small catechism, and indeed all the Lutheran confessions, teach the word of God purely and without error, we look for teaching that either agrees or disagrees with our catechism. So let's summarize those teachings briefly. The Ten Commandments, both the vertical and the horizontal tables of the law, teach what is good and right in God's sight, how to love Him above all things, and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. But they also reveal that we are unable to fulfill His law because of our sinful nature. And so we deserve only God's wrath and punishment. The Apostles' Creed professes who the true God is, the Trinity, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has made all things, who has had mercy on his fallen creatures by sending his Son into human flesh and giving him unto death for our sins and for our redemption, who sends his Holy Spirit into the world with the preaching of the gospel to gather a holy church by calling sinners to repentance and faith in Christ. The Lord's Prayer teaches us how to pray as Christians, what to ask for and what to expect from our gracious Father. Holy Baptism teaches us how and where God first forgave us of our sins, adopted us as his children, and made us heirs of eternal life, applying the merits of Christ and clothing us by faith with the righteousness of Christ. In the waters of the font, the Holy Spirit gave us rebirth, and began the lifelong process of sanctifying us and renewing us in the image of Christ. Confession and absolution teach us that we return to our baptism by continually admitting our sins and trusting that God Himself is the one who declares forgiveness to us through the mouth of His called and ordained pastor, who speaks to us in the stead and by the command of the Lord Jesus, and who Himself has been forgiven and redeemed by that same Jesus. And in the sacrament of the altar, Christ Jesus, our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, regularly feeds the members of His church with His very body and blood, truly present in, with, and under the meal, the bread and wine of the meal, to tangibly offer us the forgiveness of sins, wholeness, and the unshakable promise of eternal life, all purchased with the death of our Lord. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, "I resolved to think about nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So Jesus' saving work should be central to what a pastor and a church preaches and teaches. Indeed, the blood of the Lord is the crimson thread running throughout the catechism and through all faithful preaching and teaching. True or false? Well, you know the law, that you are a sinner who in no way, shape, or form can keep the law of God perfectly. But you also know you are a saint. Because of God's mercy, you have been saved through the death and resurrection of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone has the words of eternal life. His words alone are the solid rock on which He builds His church. Anything else is sinking sand. Anyone contradicting or adding to His word is false. So test the spirits. Inspect the fruit. Examine the teaching. Always question, is a pastor or a church or televangelist proclaiming the one true faith, the same faith Christ gave to his apostles, the same faith to which our creeds confess? Be wary if they are not. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way to life, Jesus says. If the teaching excuses some sins because times have changed, or permits other sins, as long as they're done in moderation, beware. If the teaching declares that Jesus saves, but you still have to do your part to ensure your salvation, beware. Be aware, dear saints. Be aware, but also don't be afraid. If there are false prophets, and there are, there is also one true prophet. If there are false hopes, and there are, there is also a hope that will not fail. If there are warnings of danger, there is also one who protects. Hear the words of your Savior and your Defender. I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Christ Jesus has given his life for you, and he has risen from the dead for you. The triune God has put his name on you. He has sealed you in the waters of his death and feeds you even now with the good fruit from the cross. Fruit that is strengthening you and keeping you firm in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Your Savior God has promised to be with you even until the end of the age. You have his word on it. And that word, his word, is always true. Amen. The peace of God which passes all human understanding, keep our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen. Using the words of the Nicene Creed, let us profess our faith in the triune God in the presence of our brothers and sisters. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of